accession number 19058, Reel 3.
Philip Good, Reel 3.
This German was lying behind his machine gun, which was pointing towards us. We approached very gingerly because he was so still. We just wondered whether or not. And we approached rather from the side angle. And when we got up to him, he was dead, obviously killed by shell fire. And in the hot sun, his head had swollen up to a great size. And I remember thinking, although he was in, well, it's some mother's son who's lying here. Anyway, we continued. We went over a railway line where the Germans had taken up the sleepers. And we got up to near Batapaglia. And we had a job to get back because the Germans, for some reason, thought they would be holding on. They'd destroyed a bridge, a railway bridge. And we couldn't get back because they were all around where the railway bridge had been destroyed, constructing some replacement railway bridge, obviously. So we went around a very wide angle and managed to get back. And I remember we were having patrol shoes, but going over the gravel up the bank and across the railway line and down the other side. And the gravel made an awful noise. Oh my God, they'll be hearing us. But we got away with it and we came back past our dead German, down through. And then on our left, coming back with us, was a patrol. Now I know that facing up on our right flank was the machine gun company of the Hampshires. The Hampshires had a machine gun company, old First World War machine guns that were rather slow, air-cooled. And they were being answered on occasions by the German Spandos. It seemed pretty unfair. But the Hampshires were not dismayed in any way. They said they would hit as many with their guns as the Germans would with their guns, because they were just that they weren't wasting as much ammunition as the Germans. As we were coming back towards our line, which was on the just where the Hampshires joined our company, coming up towards our Sergeant Major, Misty Wright again, on our left coming in seemed to be a patrol. We gave the recognition signal, and the man on the right gave the recognition signal back. Says, "Oh, it's the Hampshires. They have a patrol out." So we came back together. As we came back, giving the password, which was password Kentucky, and the answer was Derby. I still remember the password now. And we were greeted back. And just as we got back into the gate, all hell was let loose on our left. What we thought had been the Hampshire patrol coming back to the Hampshires was the right flank of the German company attacking the Hampshires. We'd come back with them. And we'd signal to each other, "Hiya, mate." And obviously they thought we were one of them. We thought they were one of us. So we came back together. Now, after that, the Germans did retreat with the 8th Army coming up. And we went up to the hills behind Salerno, up to a hill called Hill 270. And I was behind a clump of trees when Misty Wright, the officer, had been killed, and he said he would go and silence the machine guns. There were three machine guns. I was quite a ways away behind a clump of tree, nothing very brave, but I could see. And he asked for covering fire, which they gave him. So the Germans were taking cover in these three separate little trenches. As he ran along, tossing grenades in all three. he destroyed three machine gun nests, for which he got the VC. Now, when Peter Archer did a depiction, he went out after the war, went to the site, and did a picture, which I can show you. And he put lots of smoke and lots of gunfire showing. And he showed the Germans leaning out, collapsed over the edge of their trenches. Well, it wasn't quite like that. The way he did it looked more spectacular, more dramatic. But what happened was that they just fell down into the bottom of their trenches. They weren't on view like he did them at all. But I suppose if you're going to do a depiction, you've got to make it a little bit dramatic.
But how much of this did you see yourself?
Most of it, I was, 300 yards away. I will add, I was safely behind a clump of trees.
And his nickname was Misty?
Misty, Misty Wright. Peter Wright he was.
And any memories of him? Or?
Oh yes, he was a Norfolk man with a nice, friendly Norfolk drawl, most unassuming. He was a lovely chap. He only died 4 years ago. I couldn't go to his funeral in Norfolk, but he was great. It's funny, those who do such great deeds are so unassuming, aren't they? The noisy ones are not so liable to do such things, but he really was something.
And this was at Batapaglia?
No.
Hill 270.
Hill 270. Batapaglia is by the tobacco factory, and that's all occupied. And our fellows up to Eberly and around the other. That's all cleared now. And the route, the highway, is cleared. It's in use. So things are progressing. But Hill 270 was quite a block.
Have you any other personal memories of Hill 270?
Yes. Immediately after that, I started getting hot and then cold and hot again and cold. I realised I got malaria. So I was put in the hospital on the hill just above Salerno. And came the day when we were all ready to go back to our battalions, our units. And I got dressed and went there. And the fellow was giving out buff forms, discharge forms to everyone. But when he came to me, he had a pink form. He said, "What the hell are you doing standing up? Get back on that stretcher." I said, "But I'm sorry, I'm all right." "Do as you're told, you get back on that bloody stretcher." And I had to lie on the stretcher looking quite a chump. And two burly fellows took me down to the Leinster hospital ship at Naples and shipped me back to Tripoli. As far as I was concerned, I was all right.
Did you feel all right?
I felt fine. Mine, I had got malaria, whether there was something, an offshoot of it, I don't know. Anyway, I got back to Tripoli and re-met my brother again there. Then I had sick leave.
Was it easy to get malaria in Italy?
Well, apparently, yeah, but the strange thing was at Anfideville in Tunisia, we had these things over our heads at night because there they were trying to get in these damn things, millions of them, and we never seemed to get malaria there. The odd lone mosquito of Italy seemed to bring malaria with it. I didn't even know much about the odd mosquito, but they were there, just the odd ones.
And you weren't taking prophylactics?
Yes, yes, mepocrines. Yes, we were. But perhaps we weren't taking them as much as we should. We didn't think it was a malaria area. Yeah. Anyway, going back to North Africa, then coming back, I missed the big battle of Monte Camino, which was next to Cassino, and then they came back to the Garigliano. Now that's where I would like to talk about the 12th Motor Brigade. Italian, the 12th Italian Motor Brigade. Very, very brave. They came on our side after Badoglio had signed, and there were certain units who came with the Allies. We were impressed with them. They were all rather short. Well, being guardsmen, I suppose we noticed they were shorter than we were. Tough little devils. They had to take a thing called Monte Ceri, C-E-R-I. And they took it against tremendous odds. And then the brigadier decided he would relieve them immediately before the counterattack came in. And the general came up and said that that was absolutely right. Because as far as the general was concerned, he said, you won't want me to say this to you as English, but I say the Italians are the bravest soldiers in the world, but not for long. In other words, it's a Latin concentrated bravery that doesn't last. They have to be relieved fairly quickly.
And which month was this attack on Monte Ceri?
I think it was December 43. December 43 or January 44. Around about the year end. They were admirable, those chaps. The Garigliano was the royal fishing river of the King of Italy. It was his royal river for fishing. And we were getting up then to hills. Remember, we went back for a little leave. Now we are coming to early 44. And we went to near Sorrento. And we were billeted there in various Italian houses. They seemed pleased to have us. And I told an Italian, Vesuvius, Monte Vesuvius is going to erupt. He says, what makes you say that? I told him I was taught at school that before a volcano erupts, the smoke stops, the vapor stops, which is a sign it's going to erupt. And I remember this old Italian saying, look here, Sonny, how long have you lived in Italy? I've lived here all my life. Don't try to tell me it's going to erupt. The next day it erupted. And two of us went up as far as we could. We met Italians coming down. They were singing, but they were evacuating their home at San Sebastiano, was their village. But they seemed quite happy about it. And they just took life as it came. And we went up through the famous Lacrima Christi vineyards, Tears of Christ vineyards, as far as we could go up. A lot of dust was coming down until it started getting in the back of our throat. So we decided we would come back, by which time we were quite black. All our KD was black. And along the road, when we got down to the bottom, came a jeep with the commanding officer of the Grenadier Battalion. My God, look at you two. You better get in this jeep before anybody sees you. Because we were black. Because we didn't have the heart to tell him that he was equally black, because he'd been driving his jeep through the dust anyway. All this lava dust. Quite fantastic. Sulfur dust. And when we got back, these Italians took our shirt and KD from us. And the KD shirt, when they put it in the water to rinse it, it just parted at the seams. All the sulfur dust had eaten into the stitchwork and it disintegrated. So goodness knows what that did to our lungs that we've been breathing in so much. But they're wonderful, these experiences. I haven't said I wanted to put the record straight about the Grenadiers.
Please.
This would have been about the 12th of September 1943. We were along the canal bank.
This is back in Salerno?
Back at Salerno. We were along the canal bank and I know there has been a report to say that the grenadiers retreated in disorder, making their way in that manner back towards the embarkation beaches to get back on the boats at Salerno beaches. Now that is quite wrong. We were there with Major Gore Langton and one or two other officers, and under the guidance of a corporal, there were about a dozen grenadiers in single file marching, and when they were coming back through our lines, they were challenged. They were, "What are you doing here? Where are you going? Who are orders to go back to the embarkation beach, sir? Who gave you those orders?" "Orders from above, sir, that had been passed down by me." "But who? Where did it start?" "Couldn't tell you, sir. It's just orders that have been coming down now." They were in good disciplined order. They were not in a rabble going back as has been reported. They were obeying instructions that they had had. The officer said, "My God, you've left a whole gap. There's a gaping hole in the side of our defences. Get back to your positions immediately." They didn't protest. They did what they were told. They were obeying the last order and they went back to their positions. Now, that is what happened. There is no truth in the thing that they were running as a rabble back towards the beaches in disorder. They were disciplined. They were orderly. They were ordered to go back to return to their positions, which they did. I'd like to get that record straight because I know there have been reports written otherwise. But I was there and saw it.
How many of them were there?
20. Must have been at least 20 under the control of this one corporal. But there were others behind coming. And when this first leading section was turned back, they went back and gave the orders to the others. They all turned back and reoccupied their positions properly. They realised it was a mistaken order. But there was no panic. They were doing as they were instructed. There's something I'd like to get...
Well, you've just put it on record.
Yes, that's fine.
But you were talking earlier about the approach to Monte Cassino, I think.
That was at Monte Camino. That was the hill before Cassino. The 3rd Battalion didn't occupy Cassino. The 2nd Battalion did. And we were told, I think it was Drill Sergeant Walker, because we were told, that Gay given the report, that all he did, he just looked out of his crypt from the church. He just looked out and was hit by a sniper as quickly as that.
Were you still a guardsman by now, or had you been promoted?
No, I was still a guardsman in the intelligence section. You have to wait for someone to be promoted or someone killed before you fill their shoes. And the intelligence sergeant was still quite healthy and still going. I became intelligence sergeant later, but not just yet.
What was your work with the intelligence section?
Translations, when possible, and knowledge of languages, translations, map making, copying, enlarging maps, sorry, and patrols. Patrols is the bit I didn't like, especially full moonlight patrols.
And where did you get your knowledge of languages from? From school?
I did seem to, yes.
Did you know Italian?
Yes.
And German?
Not German. No, we had we had another intelligence sergeant who could speak German, Fred Hughes.
So what do you remember happening next? You just told me about Vesuvius and the eruption's effect on your uniform.
Yes, and then after... where did we go after that? Now, we went, coming up into 1944, early June, Orvieto, wonderful place, on its bastion of a rock. There's this wonderful city, small city, home of the famous Orvieto wine. We drove up. Now, I've got in touch with Captain the Lord Herschel, but he said it wasn't him, but he was getting in touch with others. There was a young officer who asked this man what he was doing. He was in charge of a gang of men knocking into the rock. And he said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Oh, my men are finding the wine. It's been hidden from the Germans. And it is a very fine wine. It is some of the world's best wine because it's the silver medal wine. And we've hidden it." And the officer said, "Well, you must be very trusting because you've never seen us before. But you're getting it out. How do you know we're not going to take your wine?" He said, "I know the English would never do that. The Germans would, but not the English. As a reward for coming to liberate us, if you send a vehicle, a little vehicle, I will fill it with my classic Orvieto wine. My name is Luigi Bigi." And this was the famous Bigi wine he was giving. So he asked for a little vehicle to be sent. And the said officer sent a 3-tonner truck, which he filled with wine. And there was enough wine in the officer's mess for the rest of the war. Marvellous. Well, they deserved it. It was one of those nice things that happened in an otherwise bloody war. We always remember. I've been back to the factory now. It's been taken over. The BG family has died out. I was there about 3 years ago. He had no sons but two daughters who have married professionally into the city. And as he had no sons, and before he died, he sold it to the Vinicoltura of Italy, the big firm. It's taken over, but much the same tradition of fine wines being produced. So that was Orvieto. Now the next we went over to was a place called Cetona. Bombardment was very bad. We lost another padre there, and a few others killed by shell fire.
What is the name of this place?
Cetona, C-E-T-O-N-I, Cetona, C-E-T-O-N-A, Cetona. We had instructions on the 22nd, 23rd of June to advance on Sartiano. Now that dismayed us a bit because Sartiano had some vicious mountains between us and it. We thought, "Oh God, that's something to take." We didn't reckon on the wonderful Brigada Simar, S-I-M-A-R, Simar Brigade of the Partisans. And they were a tough bunch. Now, this is what I would like to put the record straight, the work that partisans have done in Italy. They're always underrated, they're never fully appreciated, never properly recognised. The Simar had cleared a road, so much so that the Germans had got signs up, "Achtung, banditi," "Attention, bandits," etc., etc., etc. And this road was a no-go area, and it was a little miracle for us. Instead of having to fight our way through those vicious hills, there was a road, a no-go area that we could use, thanks to the partisans. absolutely wonderful. And we arrived around Sartiano. The intelligence section was supposed to be the ones to see if it had been clear, because Germans seemed to be occupying it. We approached, there was a little chappie called Dino Falleri, in his late teens, perhaps 19, still wearing shorts. And he told us where the mines were and where the mines weren't. And the patrol, that's the officer now, Captain Carl Wilson, myself, Sergeant Hughes, I'm the only one still living, sadly. We went up towards the gate, the Porta San Martino, the little city gate. And as we got there, all the people were waiting in the street because the Germans had just left. And as we went down from this gate in the city wall, between there and the main square, there were people with flowers, fruit, wine. It was like a carnival, but people were out greeting us. We were the first in. What a lovely, to liberate a town. It's really, it's reminded me now to see in Kosovo our co-streamers going up with the people kissing them on the cheek. We had the same. I know what a wonderful feeling they must have today.
This is Sartiano?
Sartiano, S-A-R-T-E-A-N-O.
And this is June?
The Midsummer's Day, the 24th of June. And I go there whenever I'm nearby in Italy. I've been back 2 years ago. Or was it last year? No, 2 years, the year before last. I was there to give a battalion shield to the mayor, because I've been there before to meet them, and they were having a celebration. I can show you. So a day or two before the 24th of June, 2 years ago, Dino Falleri turned up at the house I was staying. Isn't it marvellous? He said, "Can Philip come? Can Filippo come? We can talk about the celebrations." So I thought, well, what's going on? So when my pal drove me there, there were yellow posters all over the town. "Return of the Liberator." I thought, oh God, what's happening to me? I don't believe it. And all the people of Sartiano are invited to take part in this spectacular manifestazione. Well, it frightened me. But they had a most wonderful reception laid on. It was the reception first in the mayor's parlour, then the an extraordinary council meeting, of which I had to go. Then the band got us around to from the town hall to the square. I had, the day before, when I saw what was happening, I ordered a large wreath to lay on the war memorial, which is in the main square. And now, what was it called? Piazza della Libertà, Liberty Place. But now, guess what? It's been renamed Piazza 24th of June. Isn't that lovely?
Yes.
And when I go back, I usually have lunch or tea with the mayor. And it is lovely to go back. I gave this. I gave this battalion shield to the mayor, and it was a lady, and then they wanted me to make a speech. I had to say a few words, about a quarter of an hour, 20 minutes, to make a speech and thank them, and to remind them how the partisans got the road and no-go area, and how we were helped to get from Cittone to Sartiano, because so many of the ex-partisans still living were there. It was wonderful to meet them again, to meet the banditi, the bandits. And I